Good evening to our Central Baptist Church family and friends. We want to welcome you to our Wednesday evening, June the 3rd Bible study. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at the passages out of John chapter 11 today. That's John chapter 11. If you don't have your Bible, you can hit the pause button real quick and go get that. I want to encourage you to have that on hand with you as we take this time to gather around the Lord's Word. Once again, we're going to be looking at John chapter 11, a fairly familiar passage to most of us. As you find that, I want to give you a couple of quick announcements. Wanted to let folks know we're pretty excited about our live stream that we did on Sunday. That was the first one we had ever done. We do want to let folks know that if you go to our sites and you see the Central Baptist logo and it says, stand by, we'll be starting in a few moments. That is the video. You can click on that. If you see the little cursor type thing at the bottom, you can kind of go forward on that until you actually get to where we start. We're putting that up a little bit early, so it will notify folks on our Facebook feeds that we're getting ready to go live. I think this past week's had maybe 2 to 2.5 minutes before that, but that is the video. You can just kind of slide across to where it gets started. And we thank you for joining us. For those of you who may not know, we have opened up a couple of venues at our church. We are doing the live streaming for those who don't feel comfortable getting back out yet. We have also opened up our multi-purpose building. If you want to come and sit in there, that's where we're actually doing the preaching and the live streaming from. Please bring a chair. That way you can social distance from those that are in the facility. You can just set up anywhere in the gym. We do ask you to try to keep 6 foot from those that are outside of your family. We've also opened up the sanctuary. We're continuing to ask folks to do the best they can to social distance in there. If you go to the sanctuary, the message will be simulcasted by audio and video over into our sanctuary. Or if you just feel like the weather's good and you're enjoying the fresh air, we do still have our outside venue. You can set up right outside the double glass doors in the grassy area out that way, and you'll be able to hear the message by way of being able to set in the lawn. You'll hear it over the speakers, and the same holds true if you're coming and you plan on sitting in your vehicle. Just try to get as close to the new educational building as you possibly can. I do also want to give folks a reminder that on June the 14th, that'll be a Sunday, that is our graduation Sunday. We do plan to recognize our graduates. Our graduates will have the tables out that show their accomplishments. If you're still not feeling comfortable getting out, that message will be live streamed. It'll be our Sunday morning message, and then we'll also put photographs in the feed that kind of show the accomplishments of our graduates. So stay tuned for that. We do want to remind folks once again that you can give online. You can go to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. And look for the giving tab. I want to thank you again for all that you have done to maintain your worship by way of giving through this time that we have been shut down. You've done a fantastic job. Please stay with that. There's still availability. If you don't want to give online, you can drop it by the church, or you can mail it in to P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina 27310. And we're so grateful for all that you've done to keep the church going, to keep the facility going, as well as the church during this time that we have been down. So tonight we want to look at our passages out of John chapter 11. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. This is a passage that most of us know and are familiar with, but this will be a refresher for you. John chapter 11, begin with verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' And when Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after he said them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out following her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Let us pray together. Father, we want to come to you now. We thank you. We praise you for this opportunity to gather around your word. Lord, you're so good to us. And Lord, we thank you for even the fact that that through technology we can meet this way. Lord, help us to speak to our hearts through your word. May we learn tremendous lessons tonight from the story of Lazarus. And Lord, just teach us and draw us close at this time. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think about this particular story with Lazarus, each and every one of us have probably had this opportunity in life to have somebody that we know and somebody that we love who has been suffering or suffering from a terminal illness, and we have that opportunity to see what they're going through. Oftentimes it breaks our heart, and that was the case with Mary and Martha, particularly concerning Lazarus. And when we begin to think about these things, you try to kind of insert yourself into the story, and we begin to see what Jesus was saying about Lazarus. Now, we know that Mary and Martha did something that was very, very important for Lazarus. They prayed for him. They also knew the one who can answer those prayers. They knew Jesus. They had a personal relationship with him. Now, we've said that term, and we've used that term personal relationship before, because that's the sort of relationship that we have with him by the way of salvation. But they actually had the chance to sit down with him, to dine with him, to see the miracles, to touch him and to be a part and to be with him. And it was very, very interesting what Jesus actually said about Lazarus' sickness. So if you've got your Bible, kind of refer back to verse 4. Because when Jesus heard the word about Lazarus being sick, now they were worried. This was a sickness that was nigh unto death, as we can see. But notice what verse 4 tells us. In verse 4 it says, when Jesus heard that, meaning that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, if you heard these words, and you begin to think about what took place in the immediate future, Lazarus did die. That would almost leave people to doubt that Jesus knew what was going on, or they might even doubt his power. They might even doubt his deity at this point, because while Lazarus was still alive, one of the things that they heard was simply the fact that Jesus said this was not a sickness that was nigh unto death. Jesus was saying, this is not something that's going to take Lazarus out of here. This is not something that's going to that's going to kill him. And then we notice what happened. It says that he stayed on. Notice verse 6. It says, now when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. When people begin to see that, if you put yourself in Mary and Martha's position, they're concerned for their brother. They send for the one whom they feel like can heal him, somebody who can make him whole again. They had seen evidence of what Jesus could do. And then in the meantime, while Jesus delayed for that 2 more days, Lazarus does something completely unexpected. In their minds, he dies. Now, they're probably recalling what Jesus said here in this verse 4 when he said, this was not a sickness nigh unto death. At that particular point, they could have seriously lost faith in Jesus. They could have lost faith in his power by saying, well, evidently Jesus didn't get this one right, because he told us there that this was not a sickness that was nigh unto death, and now our brother has died. And grief begins to fill them. It says, verse 6, so when they heard that he was sick, he stayed for 2 more days in that place. And then verse 7, after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And at this particular point, his disciples that are following him are pretty much saying, I don't really know if that's a good idea or not, because verse 8 says, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? It's kind of like, are you sure that we want to do this? And Jesus begins to give them the reasonings behind this. And then down in verse 11, it says, these things he said after he said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Now, the disciples completely missed out on what was going on and what was taking place. Because verse 12 tells us, it says, then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. So, yeah, they had also heard Jesus say that this is not a sickness that was nigh unto death. And then they're sitting there thinking, well, you know, if he's sleeping, he's kind of going to kind of sleep this off. Why is it that you need to go there? Why do we need to go there? Why do we need to put ourselves and why do you need to put yourself in danger? And then verse 12, his disciples said to him, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. Verse 13 tells us that Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. And then Jesus, verse 14, told them, guys, you're missing the point. And this is a quote from verse 14. Jesus said to him, guys, Lazarus is dead. It's not one of these things he's going to sleep off. He is dead. Now, I'm sure at this point, the disciples are probably somewhat confused as well, because earlier they had heard him tell the sisters, this is not a sickness nigh unto death. And they're probably scratching their heads at this point going, I don't get it. But Jesus goes on in verse 15 to say, and this is kind of a mind-boggling statement if you think about it. Think about this for a minute. Verse 15, and I am glad, you get that? I am glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, essentially what Jesus is saying, you know, I am glad for your sake that I wasn't there to take the opportunity to touch him and to heal him. Why was it that all these things were taking place? Let me tell you why. Those things were taking place because Jesus had a lesson that many of them needed to learn. There was a lesson that many of his disciples needed to learn about his power. Even though that there were times when they doubted, even though at this particular juncture in the scripture, Mary and Martha were believing to the point that they thought, well, what is going on? Yet Jesus loves Lazarus. We feel like he has the power to heal him, and yet he's died. So could you see where the doubt would begin to come in? I know that you and I, at times in our lives, we wonder what God's up to. We go to him in prayer and we don't understand what's taking place. We don't understand what is going on. We don't understand why he is delaying, why he is not answering our prayers. Why is God not doing something? And notice what Jesus said to those disciples. He said, I am glad for your sake that I wasn't there. And the reason he said that wasn't because he was glad that Lazarus died. He loved him. He said that because there was a lesson that everybody needed to learn in regard to the power of our living Savior. And it was going to be shown to them. Now, we know that as these scriptures go on, there was something that was kind of ironic that the sisters said. They didn't hold anything back. When they got down to the particular passages in verses, I believe it's 32. Well, let's go to verses 21. It says, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even though I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. That almost sounds like a little bit of a chastisement. It's like, Lord, you let me down. How many times have you felt like that in your life? Things that you have prayed about, maybe a sick relative or somebody in your life that you've prayed for, and you didn't feel like God answered the prayer in the fashion you wanted him to, and you felt like he kind of let you down. And then this is what's going on, because that's what Martha said. You know, Mary, Martha had said to him, you know, if you would have been here, you know, he wouldn't have died. This is verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's about as pointed as you can get. But then she goes on and recognizes his power. She says, but I know that whatever you ask of God, he will do. And then Jesus said to her a very often quoted passage in verse 25, where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall he live. Now, he was putting the spiritual aspect in there. You know, so often people, particularly that are not believers, don't understand the difference between a spiritual life and death. in physical life and death. You know, Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, and he means in a physical nature, as a born-again believer and as a Christian, we will die a physical death. But he said this, though he may die a physical death, yet shall he live, meaning a spiritual life thereafter, a life with him. And he goes on to verse 26 and says, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that is a really, really interesting question that he posed to her. And it's a question that I pose to each and every one of us today. In the middle of your doubts, in the middle of those times that you pray, in the middle of those times when you feel like God is not there, in the middle of the times when you feel like he's not listening to your prayers, he is telling us through his word, he is telling us through the Holy Spirit in our lives that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the powerful one. He is the one who can change things in a moment's notice. He can make the sick well. He can make the dead walk again. And then what he does is he asks her a very pointed question. He says in verse 26, do you believe this? Where is your faith? He asked you and I that same thing today. The Spirit beckons us. And my question is the same as Jesus was to Mary and Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe that he can answer those prayers? Do you believe in the power that he has over everything, over nature, over sickness, over life, and over death? Do you believe that? Whatever situation that you are praying for, you may be discouraged along the way because you're not seeing the results that you want to see. You may not be seeing the results at all. And it is shaking your faith. You are wondering where God is. And God says, I've got this. There's a lesson that you need to learn along the way in regard to these circumstances. My question is, do you believe? That's what Jesus is saying. Do you believe that I am able? Now, her answer to that question in verse 27 was simply this. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she said this, and when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. Now, we know that when she gets back down there, Jesus had not come to town yet. When Mary heard this, she also went out to meet Jesus, and he was still in the same place that he was when he had talked to Martha. Now Jesus knows Lazarus is dead, and yet he still hasn't showed up on the scene yet to provide them any sort of comfort or any sign of relief. It says in verse 30, now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the same place where Martha had met him, and then the Jews who were with him, the mourners who had gathered there to comfort them. Verse 31 says, and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. There was a lot of weeping that was going on. There was sorrow for the passing of Lazarus. But it says, we know that she didn't go there because verse 32 says that she was on her way to see Jesus. Verse 32 says, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying the same thing that her sister had said. Look at the latter part of verse 32. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think there was a little bit of angst against Jesus there. They were letting him know how they felt. Folks, I've had people throughout my ministry that say, you know what, I've had a serious conversation with God, and I told him exactly how I felt. That's okay. But let me tell you this, God already knows how you feel. He knows when you're hurt. He knows when you're angry. He knows when you're upset. He knows exactly where you are in the midst of your situations. And it says that in verse 33, Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had came with her that were weeping and mourning with her. And it says he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And verse 35 is one of those verses that all of us should be familiar with. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. It says, Jesus wept. Now, this is one of two places in the Bible where we read that Jesus wept. The other was when he was entering into Jerusalem at the triumphal entry just prior to his crucifixion and resurrection. But there was a difference between these two types of weeping. When Jesus entered at the triumphal entry, and it says that Jesus wept, he was weeping because the people he knew were not going to receive him. He knew what the future was going to be. He knew what was taking place. He knew what the situation of Israel and the Jews would be in, and all the people at that particular point. There was weeping because of sadness at the triumphal entry. But there was weeping here as well. This was a weeping not because Jesus didn't know the future. Jesus knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back to life. But he wept because Mary and Martha and those around were weeping. He was being empathetic. He felt for them. And by the way, Jesus and Lazarus were very good friends as well. And I'm sure that there was sorrow in his heart, but particularly to see what was taking place all around him, it hurt his heart to the point that he wept. Once again, I want to remind you, he knew what the outcome was going to be. He knew that he was going to call Lazarus out of the tomb. He knew that Lazarus was dead. The word goes on, and he gets down to verse 39, and he goes to the place where Lazarus is buried. And it talks about how he's in a cave, and there's a stone that's been rolled in front of the entrance. In verse 39, Jesus says, "Take away the stone." And Martha says to him, "Lord, if we do that, there's going to be a stench." And I'm quoting that right out of the Bible. And the reason why is it says that he has been dead for 4 days. So they already knew that the decomp was going to be taking place. And this was not a situation that he was just sick or the doctor misread the stethoscope that his heart was beating. No, Lazarus was truly 100% bodily dead while he was in that particular tomb. And then verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Folks, how many things do we miss because of our lack of faith in God today? And Jesus is saying, "Do you believe in me? Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" He is saying to Martha right there, where's your faith? Do you not believe? Did you not remember what I told you before? I told you that this sickness was not nigh unto death. And yet she's sitting there thinking, well, he's dead. Jesus has the power to raise Lazarus. Did I not tell you that through this situation, you are going to see the glory of God? Verse 41 says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes." And then what he did was he called on the Father. He said, that latter part of verse 41, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." And he says, "I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this." In other words, this is an example to these people who are standing around watching what's going on. He says, "I said that," latter part of verse 32, "that they may believe that you sent me." And now when verse 43, when he had said these things, he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And then verse 44 is almost a comical scene. It says, and he who had died, meaning Lazarus, came out bound hand and foot in grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." So you can imagine, here's Lazarus. They've got him wrapped up in grave clothes, and he's kind of hopping out. His face is all wrapped up. He's probably wondering, what in the world's going on? And they're probably standing there with shock and awe. And Jesus says, "You might want to unwrap this so the man can breathe." Notice it again. It says, verse 44, "And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth." And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And verse 45 says, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him." You see, folks, Jesus knew all along what was going to take place with Lazarus. He knows all along what's going to take place in your life and in your situations. The question is, are we going to trust him? Are we understanding the spiritual leadership that the Lord's giving us through his word, through messages, through our prayer, and through how he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit? Listen, are we picking those things up? He's sitting there saying the same thing to you and I that he said to Mary and Martha. Do you believe? This is something great for you and I to consider. You know, knowing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life that he stated and that he proved here. You know, let me ask you this question. How does that help you as you pray? How does that help you as you mourn in circumstances and in situations of loss? How does that help you during difficult times? How does this make you want to share Jesus with other folks? You know, it should make us want to do that. Sometimes our faith gets a little shaky. Sometimes we waver a little bit, but I want you to know today that God has given us many promises and he's never broken a single one of them. He will be there with you and through you, even when we have trouble understanding this. Yeah, I've said before, I can understand how Mary and Martha may have felt and may have been a little bit confused, because when they went to Jesus, Jesus said, oh, this is not a sickness that's going to kill him. And then he died. And they were probably, you know, a little bit on the confused side of saying, well, I thought, Jesus, you said he wasn't going to die. Now he's dead. Would that shake your faith? Yeah, it would probably shake mine. Jesus said, no, wait a minute, I told you. Yeah, and then he even said to his disciples, he said, I'm glad that I wasn't there to heal Lazarus of his sickness, because you're going to see something that's phenomenal. You're going to see the power of God in a way you've never seen it before. Here's what I want to say to you as I close out today. God is still wanting to show you some great, mighty, and some wonderful things today. Yeah, even though God may not answer a prayer the way that you want it to, sometimes the waiting is so that we may learn a very valuable and a very important lesson. God is saying, I want to show you me in an incredible way, but you're going to have to cooperate with me as I do so. I want to do something so incredible in your life, and it may not be what you want, but it's going to be really cool what I'm getting ready to do. Do you believe in me? Did you notice that he asked Mary and Martha that? Don't you believe I can do this? I think today he asked you and I the same question. Whatever your circumstance is, whatever your grief, whatever your heartache, whatever your unknown about the future, Jesus is asking you tonight, do you believe I can handle it? Do you believe I can take care of it? My answer is yes, Lord, by all means. I kind of like what one of his followers said when he said, Lord, I believe. Help me with mine unbelief. Strengthen my faith as we go through these times, these circumstances, and these situations. Because, Lord, I do believe that you are able. It's just my finite mind and my finite way of thinking just has trouble wrapping my brain around it. Well, here's a pattern of something that we can follow. Believe in him, and I always use these words, no matter what. Why? Because God is able. And how many times have we said, God is good? All the time, and all the time, God is good. Let him work in your situations. Let him work in every situation of your life for his honor and for his glory. Let me have a word of prayer with us as we close this evening, and then I'll see if I'll give you the readings for next week. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us again. We thank you so much for the lessons that you teach us. And Lord, even those hard lessons that sometimes we don't understand, when we think about what Mary and Martha must have been going through and those that came around and mourned with them at Lazarus' death. But Father, the victory, when you stood in front of that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came out. And Lord, the joy that must have just filled their hearts and filled their soul. And those that watched, those that got to be a part of that, how their faith was strengthened incredibly. Lord, we think about the fact that even while they were with you, they had some issues with faith at times. And Lord, today we do. And you've said, how is it that they have trouble with faith and they're there to see these things? Blessed is he who doesn't get to see these things, who still has faith. And Lord, you're talking about us. Lord, we anxiously await the day we will have the opportunity to see you face to face. But until then, may we trust you in every circumstance, in every situation of our life, that you're able and you're going to do what's best and what's right for each and every one of us and those that we're praying for. So, Father, give us a good week is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, let me go ahead and give you the readings for next Wednesday evening. Like we say, just take, you'll be given five scripture passages, and we're just asking you to read one chapter a day for this next week. That gives you a couple of days where, you know, if you take a week in and you don't get a chance to read, that's fine. Don't try to read it all ahead. Take it one chapter at a time and really, really meditate on it. The readings for next week is actually going to be John chapter 13 through John chapter 17. So that's John chapter 13 through John chapter 17. Our focal passage for next Wednesday's Bible study will be when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. That actually comes out of John chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. And I will put those passages up on our site in case you did not get a chance to pick those up while I was talking about them. So those will be your Bible readings for June the 10th. We look forward to seeing you there. By the way, don't forget, this coming Sunday, we do have our facilities as well as our lawn open. If you feel comfortable enough to get out, we would love to have you here. If you don't, I want to remind you that we love you. Don't feel any pressure. We understand that we're all in different situations as we go through this time of COVID-19. Pray for us. Pray for your leadership as we try to chart a course in some uncharted waters. Pray for us most of all, because that's what we need. We love you. We care about you. We look forward to the day when we'll be able to put our arms around you or put a hand and give it a shake. So for now, I just want to say God bless you. Hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you Sunday.